Hello, and welcome to Worship from the West Highlands. Whether you're in the West Highlands or joining us from further afield, you are very welcome. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, when we remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem at the start of the last week of his earthly life. A life that showed and taught us what God was like, and also taught us how we should worship. Our call to worship some words from John's Gospel. Those who worship should worship in spirit and in truth. And in the words of our first hymn, to worship rightly is to love each other, each smile a hymn, each kindly deed a prayer. Let us worship.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we come this day to worship you and to ask for your guidance upon our lives. We come to be still. We come to listen. We come to be together. And we come to offer ourselves to you. For when we have spoken without thinking, when we have harmed rather than healed, when we have excluded instead of welcomed, forgive us and hear our prayers, said and unsaid. We give our thanks to God for all that we are, all that we have, and for the wisdom to pause and reflect in the hope that our words will bless the world around us this day and every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reading from John chapter 12, reading the first 8 verses. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from death. They prepared a dinner for him there, which Martha helped serve. Lazarus was one of those who were sitting at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a whole pint of very expensive perfume made of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, But because he was a thief, he carried the money bag and would help himself from it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep what she has for the day of my burial. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me." Amen.
In our Gospel reading, we've reached the last few days of Jesus' earthly life. The next passage in John's Gospel will recount Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday. But before that, we have this description of a gathering, of a shared meal. A meal given in Jesus' honour, probably involving other residents of the small village of Bethany. It may well have had a party feel to it. And during this meal, Mary makes a wildly extravagant gesture, anointing Jesus' feet with an expensive fragrant lotion. Wildly extravagant both because of the cost of the lotion, the equivalent of a year's wages, but also because of the manner in which she offered it, pouring it onto his feet and then wiping his feet with her hair. Since the meal was being eaten in the Roman style, that is reclining at the table, not sitting on chairs, the participants' feet were stretched out behind them as they lay. So it wasn't a question of Mary grovelling around under the table. But this was still not the behaviour expected of a respectable woman. Neither was her loosing her hair to dry Jesus' feet. As with many Bible passages, there are at least two levels of meaning in this account: the straightforward human level and a more spiritual level, a prophetic level. At the human level, Mary is making an offering in love, willing to give to Jesus what was probably the most valuable item she possessed. Jesus accepts it as such. Yes, she could have sold the perfume and offered Jesus the money for the poor, again, out of love. I think that he would have accepted that as well. I really can't imagine Jesus saying, "Why did you do that? You should have anointed my feet." I can perhaps think of one child saving their pocket money and buying their mother a bunch of flowers on Mothering Sunday, and another telling her that they've given their saved pocket money to a charity appeal that they knew that she thought was important. The mother will appreciate both gifts and not consider one right and one wrong. Judas, however, clearly thinks that only one course of action would have been right: selling the lotion and giving the proceeds to the poor. The accounts of this, or of a remarkably similar incident that occur in Matthew and Mark's Gospels, refer to a group of disciples, not specifically Judas, complaining that the lotion should have been sold, etc., that the lotion had been wasted. I find it interesting that the thing that is commented on or complained about is the waste of money, lack of concern for the poor, and not Mary's unseemly behaviour. The latter would probably have caused far more eyebrows to be raised. Now, John gives Judas a reason for what he says, for complaining. John states that Judas was a thief and just wanted to take his cut from the money that would have resulted from the sale. It is worth noting that nowhere else is Judas said to be light-fingered, and he's been with Jesus and the disciples throughout Jesus' ministry, walking, talking, eating, sleeping, working with them. All the Gospels agree that Judas handed Jesus over to the authorities, but there is no suggestion earlier in the ministry that the other disciples suspected Judas in any way. He was one of them. There's no indication that he was thought to steal from their funds. Be that as it may, Judas certainly thinks that his view about what should have been done with the lotion is the correct one. Of course, if he was a thief, he may have been trying to support and to justify his own view by using the reasoning, the excuse, that he was worried about the poor. Two things here perhaps we should look out for. Firstly, a tendency to think, my way is best, what I think is right. A different way of doing something isn't always better and isn't always worse. Different can just be different, but just as good. We can come across this in our daily lives. I wouldn't have done it that way. It's not how I or we do it. That may be true, but it doesn't necessarily make the other way wrong. It may be a discussion about domestic chores, how best to clean the oven, how best to remove certain stains. But what about things like differences in worship within our local churches, local denominations, different styles of music, different styles of building, different church language, different ornamentation or lack of it? It's okay to be more comfortable with a particular style, but that doesn't mean other styles are invalid. Then secondly, when we know what we want to happen, or we think should have happened, having a tendency to look only for reasoning that justifies and supports our view, not listening to others. Back to the passage. Whatever the reasoning and motivation behind the complaints, Jesus supports Mary's actions. He accepts her loving offering and rebukes the complainer. Jesus also introduces a prophetic level of those actions. He knows the additional, the true significance of what she has done. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." Mary's actions fitted with God's plans. The lotion had not been wasted. We're in the final days of Jesus' earthly life, moving towards his execution. A death that some would also think was a waste. If Jesus had kept his head down, he could have healed and helped far more people. What may seem a waste in human terms may be of great value in spiritual terms. The anointing of Jesus for his burial, the death on the cross for the true healing of all. God is concerned with both spiritual and human issues. Jesus' speech concludes with, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This should not be taken to mean that Jesus was no longer concerned for the poor, but possibly that caring about the poor is not about a single action, a single large donation, as helpful as that may be. It's about the whole way the disciples live and think. It's about the whole way we live and think. It's about how we protect the environment. For it is the poor of the world who suffer most from climate change. It's about how we shop. How much do we look for ethical providers, those who do not exploit the poor? It's about how we use our votes. What policies support justice, help those in need? It is about our whole lives. Worship is also about the whole way the disciples live and think. Worship is about the whole way we live and think. It's not just about an isolated hour a week. In the words of our opening hymn, to worship rightly is to love each other, each smile a hymn, each kindly deed a prayer. Amen.
Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, you spoke love into this world. You called each of us by name to know you and be with you this day and forever. We give thanks today for the truth and the wisdom shown to us through the life of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus. We bring our words of prayer for our troubled world, aching under the afflictions of disease and poverty and war. Help us and all those with the power to do so to speak justice. Help us in your name to bring peace and understanding to all peoples. We bring our words of prayer for our country and communities in this time of change. Change and optimism amongst the uncertainty. Help us and all those in positions of power, elected and unelected, to shine light into the darkness, hope into the hopelessness, and let us who know your love to bring it in word and deed to everyone we meet. We bring our words of prayer for your church as we seek to serve the communities and the parishes around us. Help us to understand your love, to use it and cherish it as we dedicate ourselves once more to your message and mission. We bring our words of prayer for ourselves and all those we love, each with our own strengths and weaknesses, doubts and hopes. Help us to hear your word and to use our words for the good of your kingdom, the joy of your people, and the glory of your name. Amen.
We now consider our offerings. Lord, grant us the wholehearted joy in giving that Mary had, and accept our offerings as you once accepted hers. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Praise my soul. Praise him, glorious in his faithfulness. tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from.
May our hearts be open to the Holy Spirit. May we show compassion to those in need and bring light into darkness. May our love help to tread out the fires of anger and in its ashes plant the tree of peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, upon all who we love, and upon all God's children everywhere. Amen.